John 15. John 15. We are looking at the abiding life as our theme, and we're going to work through this chapter for the next few weeks and seek to get the mind of the Lord and what He wants us to learn through these things. And I believe it's these precious truths are going to help us to walk with Him and going to help us to be faithful to Him. And I'm asking God to just teach us. That's my prayer. That's my cry. So I'm going to read verses 1 through 6 this morning, then we'll pray. John chapter 15, verse 1, Jesus says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, He purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. With God's help this morning, I want to preach a message to you on the productivity of pruning the branches. The productivity of pruning the branches. Let's pray together. Oh God, you know I need you. I confess my utter dependence upon you. We're asking for a deep work to be done. Lord, you have been glorified through our singing. And I pray now you'll be glorified through the preaching. And now I also want to pray, Lord, as we leave here in just a few moments, I pray that we would glorify you through our living. Living as fruitful vines that are abiding in the true vine. Fruitful branches that are abiding in the true vine. You, Lord Jesus. Thank you for your precious people here today. Thank you for your precious presence. I love you. Oh God, you are so precious to us. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. As you look across the United States of America, different regions grow different things. Where my wife's from, she's from Minnesota. And they grow a lot of corn in Minnesota. And you go up there and man, you can see why very quickly. It is some beautiful, black, fertile dirt. It's not the old Georgia red clay like we have. We try, don't we? But you get up there in those states and boy, you can see why they're able to grow the corn they grow and the soybeans they grow and everything else they grow. But you know, you look at some other parts of the region and we can even lay claim to some of these parts. In northeast Georgia, we have vineyards. You get up there around Helen and you start seeing the signs for them. And don't you guys get any ideas. Don't go there and take advantage of their free tasting. Okay. You observe their vineyards. Okay. You just watch it from a distance. No, with all seriousness, you go out the same way in California. You see these great vineyards that are scattered about at certain areas of our country. What is that? Well, it's got to be the right climate. It's got to be the right elevation. Okay. It just has to have those things in place to order, to be able to grow, some good grapes. And you know, I think upon the vineyard that God is growing. I think upon the fact that God the Father, who is the ultimate and supreme vine dresser, He's the great and supreme and ultimate gardener. He's tending to the vines. I know all of God's people are a vineyard, but I like to bring it down to a little personal level, if you don't mind. I like to look at Crooked Creek Baptist Church as His vineyard. I like to look at the Jennings residence as His little vineyard. I like to see that the heart of Brinson Jennings is the Lord's vineyard. And I hope you make the same application. You see, God is the vine dresser and Jesus Christ is the vine, the true vine. And we are abiding in the vine. Remember what we learned about the vine last week? The vine is where we see the true power and life of Jesus flow from. That's the only way to have a true life. Listen, you can try to imitate life, but you cannot reproduce life when you don't have life. You can try to imitate it, but you cannot reproduce it. But my friends, when we are abiding in the vine and you have life, your life will reproduce life. That's why it's so important to be fruitful. And the only way to be fruitful is to be abiding. Can I say it like this? Ladies and gentlemen, the only way to live an abounding Christian life is to live the abiding Christian life. A lot of Christians talk about wanting to abound, but let me ask you a question. Are you learning to abide? God wants us to learn this, and I believe here we're going to see some truths about how He produces such a beautiful, beautiful vineyard. There's some old vineyards around the world. I did a little research, and the oldest one on record is in Slovenia. Am I saying that right? Slovenia? Is that right? Over in Slovenia, there's a 400-year-old vineyard that's still producing grapes. It's pretty amazing. Hey, that's been a lot of grapes over the years, and we could go through other different ones, and there have been many others, and look at what God is doing even through the vineyards of His vineyard around the world. I'm thankful today that He's working in the vineyard of Crooked Creek Baptist Church. He's working in your life and my life, and it's neat to see God doing that. You know, I want to bring out some truths here. I want to bring out some truths here in the passage today that I believe will be a help to us in understanding all that the Lord is doing. Notice with me here, number one, we looked at the true vine, which we know that's Jesus Himself. But first of all, as we look at the vineyard, we see my Father is the husbandman. If you're taking notes with me this morning, would you note number one, the master pruner. The master pruner. Let me say this without reservation, not because of experience, but because from what I've read, they seem to all agree. Every article that I read, every portion of a book that I read in my study is this. The pruning process in the vineyard is the most important part of the whole enterprise. The pruning process is the most important part, and the people who do it must be carefully trained, get it, so they do not destroy or damage the crop. I mean, I thought it was quite interesting. Brother Wes, I got to looking at this, and do you know that they actually have schools where people spend 2, 3, 4 years to become the master pruner of the vineyard? I mean, you have to pass all these qualifications. You have to be tested because, hey, they take that very seriously. And when you get out there with shears and you claim to know what you're doing, you better know what you're doing. Because those branches and those vines can be very fragile. And you have to know what you're doing. And I am so thankful this morning as I look at the truth of God's vineyard and God Almighty being the master vine dresser, I know I can count on my Father doing His pruning perfectly. Perfectly. You see, when I understand, you have to know the precise time to do your pruning. Right now, if you were to go up to around Helen and you were to look at those vineyards, or you were to go even over to California right now, most of those vineyards, you would look at them and you would say, oof, those look kind of rough. No leaves, no fruit. It'll be a bad harvest this year. May come to your mind, but hey, not so quickly. Do you know those vines right now are laying dormant? Dormancy does not mean deadness. Do you know there's as much life going on in those vines right now than even when the leaves and the fruit start blooming? There's a work that's taking place, and you know, we're tempted sometimes to look at somebody's life. We're tempted to look at somebody's family. We sometimes look at our own situation and see, ooh, bare, nothing there. Man, it just seems kind of ugly. Not very appealing, not very attractive. I want to tell you something. That doesn't always tell the whole story. Because the great vine dresser knows the seasons on when to bring forth the proper and perfect pruning. He knows when to come into the vineyards of Brinson's heart and do the clipping away and to do the purging away and do the taking away. He knows your heart. He knows your family. He knows this church. He knows the family of Crooked Creek Baptist. He knows what we need, and I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful that I can trust my Father this morning. As the great vine dresser, He's highly skilled. Oh, the Eternal Father, He's the most perfect one. Not only is He highly skilled, He's been doing this, oh, since the beginning of time, since the beginning of man, He's been in the vineyard of men's hearts. He's been knowing what they need at that precise time. I'm grateful for that. I rejoice in that. I am comforted by that. Think about this. Not only does He have to be highly skilled, listen, you could probably get into one of these vineyards if you were highly skilled. But sometimes some bad ones get through. And let me tell you why. They may have the skill set. They may even have the talent to do an incredible job of pruning. But this is what they're missing. They're missing being incredibly caring. They don't really care about the vineyard. They want to do a good job. Maybe they know what to do, but maybe they're lazy in some ways, and maybe they're just not thoughtful, and maybe they're careless at times because whatever the case may be. And well, if we don't get a good harvest, we don't get a good harvest. I don't really care. My boss man, he can take that heat. You can have various reasons why somebody would not be incredibly caring. But I want to announce to you, ladies and gentlemen, this very morning, I want to assure your heart that our Father, who is the mighty, perfect vine dresser, He is incredibly caring. He cares. He cares about me. He cares about you. And I'm grateful for that. That thrills my soul, brother. That makes me so thankful, because there are times where maybe I don't understand what's going on, but I can go and I can say, you know what? The master pruner, the vine dresser, Jesus calls Him my Father, is the husbandman. He taketh away every branch that beareth fruit. He purgeth it that it may bring forth more fruit. I want to tell you, aren't you glad that He cares? Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. God cares. God cares. Number two, not only the master pruner, but I want us to see, if you're taking notes here, please write down the meticulous pruning. Meticulous. Meticulous. M-E-T-I-C-U-L-O-U-S. What in the world do I mean by the meticulous pruning? Well, let me just put it this way. When you think about meticulous, this is how it's defined. Very careful about doing something in an extremely accurate and, get this, exact way. Showing or requiring extreme care and attention to detail. You see, there is a meticulous pruning aspect that we see here, especially in this first part of chapter 15. Look at your Bible. It says that every branch in me. That's talking about Jesus. Now, again, I referenced this before, and some, I believe, take the wrong view of this, especially those that would believe that this is talking about people that can lose their salvation. Let me say as dogmatically as I can. If you are truly born again, you can't get unborn. Now the question is, if you're truly born again, if you're not truly born again, that's what needs to happen. You could have had religion, but I want to tell you, you cannot lose your salvation. Now, I don't believe that's what that's teaching. Some would teach that this is teaching that there are people that were in the vine, but then they messed up and God says, you're out of here. I don't believe that. There's also a group that believes on this view that it's talking about basically people that never were saved in the first place, and they claim Christ, and then it came out that they were not. I'm not going to... It's not a hill I'm going to die on. I don't believe that's what this is saying, because I believe it gives reference to them being in the vine. And in order to be in Christ, you got to be saved. Okay? What I do believe it's talking about, and this is what I'm talking about, I believe it's talking about God the Father being so caring about His children, who are the branches, who are abiding in His Son, Jesus Christ, the vine. And when we aren't producing fruit, and there are some areas in our life, get it, that need some meticulous pruning. Some of it's rotten. There's some rotten parts that God sees in my life and says, son, that is producing no fruit. The way you're acting, the way you're thinking, this in your life, I'm just going to remove it. I'm going to remove it because it's doing no good. I believe God will do that in my own heart, in my own life. I believe He'll do it in yours, because He's a perfect vine dresser. He's caring. He's perfect at what He does. And I do believe this based on 1 John. Get this. I don't want to go too far into detail here. But I do believe, as we'll see in verse 6, I do believe there comes a time, and I don't know when this is, and neither do you, only God. I do believe there's a time when His branches are not producing for such a long period of time that God the Father will take them on to heaven. It's in 1 John. We can look at it another time, but it's that sin unto death. We don't wish it upon anybody. I don't wish it upon anybody here, but it's true. There's a time where God can say, okay, I'm bringing you home. I don't know when that is. You don't know when that is. But listen, I don't want to be in that category. And neither do you. We want to say, no, Lord, we want you to continue working on us. Remove that. And then notice this idea of it being purposeful. He's doing it in a meticulous way. It is to bring forth that fruit. And not only that fruit, but I did this in my Bible. I don't know if you want to do it. Maybe you don't like circling your Bible. I do. But notice in this middle part of verse 2, you see fruit. Okay, that beareth fruit. Notice later on in that verse, it says more fruit. I circle both of those and draw a line in between the two. And then if you go down to verse 5, you'll see that the Lord is still doing His purging work. And because we're abiding and the purging is taking place, notice that phrase toward the end of verse 5, bringing forth much fruit. I drew a line from fruit to more fruit down to much fruit. I circled those because that's the progression that God wants to do in your life and my life. He doesn't want you to be fruitless, friend. No, I don't care where you are in your walking with God and your season of life, how long you've been saved. He wants to continue working in your life. And that is such a blessing, because the meticulous pruning is what He can do. It is purposeful. Hey, from what I read about, it's so interesting. They get out there and they know the length to cut it. These expert and master pruners, they get out here in the vineyard and they know the exact time. They can get out there and look at a particular vine, from what I understand. They can look at the little stems that are coming up, and they can look around that and observe that. And they can tell some need maybe more, a little bit, maybe more of an inch taken off, maybe a couple inches. Maybe that one needs to be left alone. They're observing. And why are they doing that? It's because it helps this vineyard to be healthy. It helps it not only to be healthy, but look, God is interested in the longevity of your life and my life. I don't know about you, but sometimes I get so caught up in the short term. Fixed right now, yesterday. Changed, whatever, the situation, everything, just no, right now. No, God is looking at longevity. long-term change in our life. He wants you to be producing fruit that's going to be lasting for a really long time. Your life is being invested. Your life, by abiding in Christ, is producing fruit that's going to last for decades, if not centuries. I tell you, He's doing it purposefully. Not only is He doing it purposefully, but He's doing it precisely. He knows the length. He knows the time. Now, here's the thing, brothers and sisters. Let's all agree here this morning. Sometimes we think, God, Your timing, I think, is off. Does anybody else think that sometimes? Lord, I know there's some pruning going on, but could You have at least wait till next year? 2027, Lord. Or maybe 2029. But get it. It goes back to the character of the vine dresser. He knows what you need. He knows where you're at. He knows the precise time. And He'll do it perfectly. We can't get mad. And the reason we can't get mad is because we know, get it. And I'll say this again. God's pruning is always for the purpose of bringing forth more fruit. Did you get that? The purpose of God's pruning is always, without exception, to bring forth more fruit. But thirdly, not only do we see the master pruner and the meticulous pruning, but then we see the mysterious procedure. The mysterious procedure. As I mentioned just before, the timing of all, sometimes it just, whew, Lord, what are You doing? It's a bit of a mystery. Here's why I think it's a mystery, because it's a paradox and it goes right along with Scripture. Get this, you know this, Bible students. It's a mystery because if you think about it, it's death that brings forth life. Why do I say that? It's because notice in your Bible, does it say in verse 2, every branch in Me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away. And then notice this, and every branch that beareth not fruit, He purgeth it. Is that what it says? No. I added a word. I said that every branch that beareth not fruit, He purgeth. But that's not what the Bible says. It says every branch that beareth fruit. Now that just seems like a mystery to me, because from a human perspective, when we see beautiful green leaves and we see a beautiful cluster of grapes, we automatically think, we don't need to touch that. That's just great. That looks good. That's not God's way. God sees that. He sees things we don't see. The ultimate and master pruner sees, I see that that's got fruit on it, and I see those are some nice looking leaves, but there's some disease in that. Actually, there's too many grapes on that cluster, so I'm going to have to do a little pruning here. You see, it's a mysterious, because we would think, Lord, we're doing good, Lord. Things are looking good. Things are on the up, lay up, you know. Hey, Lord, You don't need to touch that. Don't touch it, Lord. The Father says, actually, it does need to be touched. I need to do some pruning. But I assure you, this is what God is saying. Lord, help me here. I cannot convince this truth. I cannot. I need You to believe it, and these people need You to believe it. The Father, when He does it, He's doing it to bring forth more fruit. I know that's hard for us to get around. It's a mystery. You think, hey, this looks good, just leave it alone. But that's not God's approach. God sees fruit and He's pleased with our fruit. Yes, He is. But He also knows that too much fruit, get this, too much fruit too quick is detrimental to the branch. Is detrimental to the branch. And a master pruner sees, you know what, there's too much there. Why is that? What are the practical ways for that? Well, first of all, from what I understand in the vineyard, there can be too many leaves. And what do you say? Well, what's the problem with that? Well, too many leaves gives too big of a canopy. And it keeps the light from the sun to hit the part of the branch and vine that it needs to hit. And so what God does in our lives when there is a lot of things taking place and we think, hey, we're good, I'm growing, you know, I'm fine, Lord. Lord says, actually, no, you got an area of canopy right there. We need to let some light in. Maybe we could refer to it, I don't know, as a blind spot. Some place where the sunshine of God's holy love beams upon us. I don't know what all that looks like in your life and my life, but I know it's true. And God says, hey, I know you're growing here, but I'm going to cut you back a little bit. Maybe it's this. I'm just going to speak for Brinson here, and y'all can join on me if you want to. Maybe it's this. Maybe you're making some good decisions spiritually, and you get a little proudful about it. Whew, been reading that Bible. Yeah, been praying. Meeting prayer, been there every service. Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, I have to be or y'all would fire me, but you know what I mean, okay? But you know what I mean. Sometimes we can get prideful in our spiritual growth. Thinking you've arrived, and God, in His loving way, says, I'm going to have to cut you back a little bit. And He does it out of love. And He does it so the sunshine can come in and not only get to my branch, but can get to my little branches at the Jennings household. So He can get to the branch of my wife. So the sunshine of His love can get to the beautiful branches of Crooked Creek Baptist Church. My Father knows when to cut back. He knows when to prune us. And we have to trust Him. Yes, it's mysterious. Nobody's going to argue that. Many times it's mysterious because many times it is a death to self. But God brings life from it. And it's always for the purpose of bringing forth fruit in our lives. It's mysterious because it's painful. It's mysterious because it's predictably unpredictable. It's mysterious because it's perplexing. And get this. It's mysterious because it's preparing us for the future that we do not know what's ahead. You see, many times we don't know the future, do we? Well, we don't ever know the future. What am I talking about? Only God knows the future. We know what God says He will do in the future, but as far as what's going to happen tomorrow, what's going to happen a minute from now? I'm assuming that you all are going to be sitting up straight and paying very close attention. I say that at the Good News Club. Receiving what I'm preaching, but hey, the fact of the matter is, only God knows. But see, a lot of times what God is doing is preparing us for future things. We don't know. God's got a special task or mission for you next year or the next 5 years, whatever it might be. We don't see it. So this pruning that God seems to be doing in my life, it's mysterious. I'm like, God, what are you doing? Well, let's take a moment and think for the fact that the master pruner sees it all. He sees the end from the beginning to the end. He sees my whole life, and He sees Brinson's going to need this right here. And let's go ahead and help him with that. I know he doesn't realize it, and he doesn't see the future, but I'm going to go ahead and do this in his life so that he can be ready. Put your name in there. He's doing this in your life. Again, I know he's the master pruner. It's meticulous, and it's mysterious, and in closing, I love this because this is what the Bible teaches. Listen to this. It is a marvelous produce. There is a marvelous produce. The produce there is the vineyard producing, as we mentioned here, fruit, more fruit, and much fruit. Isn't that beautiful? You see, your life right now may seem dormant in some ways. And I hope it's not because you have some sin in your life where the bugs are eating away the branch and producing, like, killing the production of fruit in your life. I hope that's not it. But if it is, the Father will take care of that. And we need to be open to that. God, get rid of it. I don't want to be infested with the sin of insects in my life. Bring that sin to my attention, oh God. That's what I'm praying for, revival. I hope you don't think I've just lost my mind. I'm just praying, oh God, just shine your light on us. Show us, Lord, where those bugs are. Get them out of, we don't want them, Lord. Those branches aren't, get them out, Lord. We want to produce branches that you, that by being connected to you and abiding in you and letting your life flow through us. And when we do, it is going to be beautiful. Marvelous. Notice what the Bible says. Fruit, more fruit, much fruit. It's going to be by being connected to the vine. Quick question here. My time is up. Does anybody remember my definition of what it means to abide from last year? Was it last year? No, it was last week. Okay. Last week. Does anybody remember? Number one, abiding in the vine was number one, is dependence on the Lord. Okay? That's a resting, a dependence on the Lord. We're depending on Him to walk us through this life and to be the vine dresser He is. And to do what He needs to do for us to be able to produce the fruit that we need to produce. Fruit, more fruit, much fruit. All right. Secondly, not only do we depend on the Lord, but what's next? We commune with the Lord. That's the intimacy with our Lord. That's that sweet communion that we have with Him throughout the day. And even in that secret place where it's just you and the Lord reading your Bible and praying, and then throughout the day just talking to Him. I hope and pray, my prayer for each of you is that God Almighty is your best friend. Your best friend. Tell Him that, Lord, You're my best friend. You're my best friend, Lord. I love You. Tell Him that. Because He is. You will have no friend like Him. We want to be friends and friendly, and we will be when God is living through us, but God alone is your best friend. With your best interests in mind, He's the best vine dresser. He's the best and true vine. Oh, praise God. The Holy Spirit is the best fruit producer. Hey, I'm telling you, we can trust Him, and He's producing a fruit in your life. So you have, number one, dependence on the Lord. Number two, you have communion with the Lord. But then thirdly, obedience to the Lord. You cannot, please let me repeat this, you cannot have the abiding life without obeying the Lord. When you hear His Word preached and the things that we know, it's like Mark Twain said, who wasn't even a believer. He said, it's not what I don't know the Bible that bothers me. He said, it's what I do know about the Bible. And God's people, we know what we need to do. And when we refuse to do it, when the Holy Spirit is prompting us and leading us, when the master pruner is working in our life and we refuse, it's not going to be any fruit. And you notice what I didn't say what fruit was this morning. Because a lot of times the world says the fruit is power. Fruit is honor. Fruit is riches. That's where you want to see fruit. Hey, for the Christian, it goes way deeper than that. Way deeper. The fruit that God wants is the world cannot have. Because it only comes... it only comes through the vine. It only comes through Jesus Christ, the true vine. And the world can go out there and try to produce all the fruit they want with all their success. But I'm telling you, they're coming up empty-handed at the end of their life. And it's all going to be vain because they refuse to abide in the true vine. The true power, the true wisdom, the true peace, the true joy, the true love, the true life. That's the fruit that God desires to produce in our life. So let's be a vineyard that's abiding in the vine. And let's trust the productivity of the master pruner. Your life is being pruned right now. Not because I'm a prophet and I know everything about your life. But I'm telling you, God's working. You know why I know? Because He's doing it in mine too. There's some things I know God's... And I have to come back, Lord. Oh God. But I'm so thankful, church, because this is what we do. We say, Lord, thank You. You're working. Keep doing it, Lord. so that we can be fruitful people for His glory. Let's pray.